This is Josh Denny, and you are listening to March of the Pigs. All right, I'm here with Ryan Bromes, comedian. I'm already piping in fucking hot lava on this thing, dude. How are you doing? I like how I throw that in, like we haven't just had lunch together and been talking for the last 2 hours. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm pretty good.
Like you just showed up.
Yeah. I'm swell, you know? I'm a little full from a meal that we shared together.
Yeah, we did. It was a very intimate lunch.
Right down to the dessert. It's a good thing they brought two spoons.
I like that there was a conversation about the two spoons, because when the dudes just show up with the two spoons, like the part of me that's my father's son immediately goes to, what the fuck are you trying to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like, but he was like, I'm going to bring two spoons. Is that cool? And I was like, actually bring us two dildos.
How funny would it have been if they had a double-sided spoon? This is for you.
Exactly. You take this end, and then this end vibrates, so you'll really like that. Yeah. That'll deliver this deep-fried tempura oat cookie with ice cream on it real all up into your fucking face.
This dishwasher-safe spoon.
It says waterproof, but I'm pretty sure I broke it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's funny. So, yeah, we went to Umami Burger, which I have a love-hate relationship with. So you dig this place. You like the umami.
I do.
On your palate.
It's got, like the price point of it is a little high, but that makes it one of those places where I'll go to seldomly enough where it's still, like, a good surprise every time it's in front of me.
Yeah. But yeah, my issue with the place is the portion size for the money. Like, I'll pay $13 for a burger, but don't bring me a glorified White Castle.
Yeah.
Which is what I feel like I had for lunch
today. It should
today.
Come with fries.
Yeah.
At least.
Throw some fucking fries on it.
Mm-hmm.
We had cheesy tots, and we had tempura'd onion rings. Guys, they were okay.
Yeah, yeah.
The tempura'd onion rings. Cheesy tots were really good.
Yeah, I love those things, especially dipped in all the sauces. Like, I'm a sauce guy 100%. I could have anything, and as long as I have, like, queso.
A good sauce.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
You give me the worst thing to eat on earth, and I'll cover
deep
it in cheese.
Deep-fried human shit, and you'll put it in cheese.
That's extreme, but...
I tweeted that yesterday. I don't know if you saw it. I tweeted, now that they're doing all these flat earth conspiracies and stuff, I did a tweet where I was like, I'm just going to start putting out whatever and see who's dumb enough to believe it. So I was like, medicine is a scam. If you just eat a tablespoon of your own shit every day, you'll never get sick.
Yeah.
And like, I'm prepared. I'm the kind of guy who can spin bullshit to where if somebody was like, that's bullshit, I could argue that off the top of my head and make it sound like there's some science to it when there's not.
Well,
I would make people eat their own shit.
I can 100% agree. Something that I say quite often is that I haven't had health insurance in 5 years, because it's true.
Me neither.
But I've also been drinking the tap water in L.A., and I haven't been sick in 5 years, and I think it's because I've been introducing, like, those trace amounts of poison in the L.A. water, so now my immune system is as good as it's ever been.
Yeah, that's the same thing I would say about eating your own shit.
Exactly.
I'd be like, there's actually natural bacteria in that fights off. It's what you have in your body to break down food.
Exactly.
So by re-ingesting it, you're getting that bacteria before it enters your digestive system, and therefore it's not entering the bloodstream and you're not getting sick. And there are dumb enough people that would be like, that shit sounds real. Yeah.
You know, I just read
that
a story
sounds real.
About a baby that was found taped up in a closet in its own shit. And hearing this makes me think that maybe the mother was a little more responsible than we're given her credit for.
That's great. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of work put into that scenario.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like, I kind of feel like the article made it sound like they abandoned her.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a little unfair.
Yeah, how dare they?
It's a little unfair.
It's like being a male in comic.
Yeah, right.
A male in comedy.
Yeah. God, that's, can't even get started on that. It's the worst fucking thing ever. Like, I had Erica Rhodes on this podcast, like, probably.
She's a delightful human.
I love Erica. Like 10 episodes ago, and I go, we got into a real honest conversation about, like, you know how hard it is for me to invite a chick comic over to, like, do the podcast? It's fucking awful. And I go, and it was just so happened where Erica was able to come over in a day where my girlfriend was off. So all three of us went to lunch. She's like, oh, you guys are like a adorable couple. And it's like, you've been married forever. And we're not married, but we've been together for 4 years. And she's like, you're like nice, wholesome, normal people. And this is, and then my friend Chris joined us and hung out. And then we came back and did the podcast. But it's like, I was like, do you know how many women, like, they don't even pay attention to the fact that I'm in a relationship on Facebook, and just inviting them to do my podcast is like, it's probably planning to rape me to death.
Yeah, they think you want to crush it.
Yeah, and it's just like, dude, even if I were single, I wouldn't, I can look at a girl and within 5 seconds know how much work it's going to take to fuck her, mm-hmm. and 98% of them, the answer is too much work.
Yeah, 100%.
Especially in this city.
Yeah.
Especially in the city. Like, I'll throw this example out. I went to Atlanta to film this thing last week that mm-hmm. I was telling you about at lunch, and I, just because there were two people pointing a camera at me at the same time, I probably could have fucked every woman in that place under the age of 50.
True, yeah.
And the ones over 50 would have had a few questions, but then I probably also could have fucked them too. But it's mm-hmm. just like this different level of standard and expectation around the rest of the country versus, and I'm not saying that makes me cool or anything. I'm just saying that it's pretty easy. Like, everywhere other than Los Angeles, it's pretty fucking easy to find a chick who's like, you're cool and different, I'll bang you. Like, your hair would get you fucked in 48 states.
It gets me banged in Los Angeles yeah. more than anywhere else, because I feel like, and I, luckily there's a lot of very pretty people that move to LA, and most of
and
them...
And then hear their garbage. Have,
exactly. So they hit a rock bottom that's seeps me in.
Yeah.
And that's how I like to think. Like they're on the verge of suicide, and they're like, this can't be the bottom. There has to be one other thing.
And you come in and then, remind them how they felt in high school.
Boom. Exactly.
In fucking West Texas.
Not even, because I don't have a bed in my apartment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I sleep on the floor.
Okay, nice.
So and every time I have
and
sex...
And I have sex outside in a dumpster.
For me, I imagine the whole scenario. Every time it happens, because I've been like having sex with like some pretty good-looking girls. And it's surprising to me because, A, no bed, no sense of self-worth whatsoever. I have abs shaved into my stomach hair all the time. And I also look the way I do. You know,
this
like,
is the most matter-of-fact self-deprecation anyone's ever. You're yeah. just like, I know what I am.
I can't not giggle when I'm getting a blowjob.
But yeah. Well, you and me both, by the way.
It's, well, you landed like a really good one, and you've been together for a long time. I get them for like a month. I get them for their worst month ever.
Their worst month in LA.
Yeah, which is still great.
You get them before they decide they're a writer, and they start blogging about their experience in Los Angeles.
They all live in the Midwest again.
That's... Oh, yeah. They're all back in Nebraska now. Yeah,
Kentucky, most of them.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Kentucky, yeah. They're just like, I'm just happy you're not my brother. I don't even give a shit you don't have no bed.
Yeah.
We used to have to share a bed, and then, you know, we just naturally started to
soft
blankets, explore that.
But no bed.
Yeah. That's well, you know, you're not an animal.
Exactly. And I have my, because that's literally my...
You're not
my,
homeless.
My room, luckily. My room now is like when you walk in, it's all the suitcases that I brought in and just put there from day one. The dust that's collected around them because I'm not the person that like cleans or takes care of things. And then this little part of the floor where there's a blanket that I sleep on, pillows that have been in my car for 3 years before I moved into this place. So they're brown. And my laptop where we watch our Netflix for our Netflix and chill sessions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's great.
That's very polite of you to have a setup like that where they can be entertained while they're bottoming out.
Yeah. I 100% agree. I always buy like a bottle of cheap wine too.
Oh, you know, doesn't that almost drive the knife in a little deeper though? Like,
sometimes I have to buy a corkscrew, and then I'm like, whoa, we're splurging now.
Yeah, but it's just funny to me that somebody who appears to make no effort would make effort and be like, here's some wine. Like, the fact that, and it's almost like, if I were in your situation, it would be impossible for me not to be like, pretend to be oblivious to my surroundings, like, let me open some wine. And she's like, you don't have a bed. And you're like, I know not of what you speak.
Well, I'm courteous when I can be. I just don't have a lot of money. Like, if we were down there and we were fucking and I found a rogue nugget, I'd offer it to her for sure.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. I got a lot of fast food bags kicking around. So every once in a while, you know, the other day.
You're like the passenger seat of every girl's car.
Yeah.
They eat fast food in their car so they don't get caught.
Yeah.
Isn't that, that's like a nasty.
I eat before bed. And the other night I got so high that I woke up and found three French fries in the bag, still in the bag. And I felt like I betrayed myself. I had, You know, bag fries are the best fries. And there was a part of me that let them slip away.
Yeah.
And you can't eat them the next day. Like, I could have, but I was like, they're going to be gross. I'm going to resent myself even more for it. But I had never been as let down as I was. Well, no, that's not true.
Did you look at those three fries in the bag and be like, this is why we don't have a bed?
This is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, that, I was going to say it's the worst thing that I've ever gone through. But no, the worst thing I've gone through was when I was also high and I tried to open a beef jerky. And it tore, but not to the point where the jerky started coming out.
And did you just eat through the plastic?
I stopped walking because I was walking on. I was in Hollywood, and I just stopped walking altogether. And I looked at it with the saddest face I've ever maintained. And I was, the jerky out of the plastic now.
It's like that scene in Curb where he's trying to open the. Oh, what is it? He's got a. Somebody's like locked in a seatbelt or something, and he's got like a box cutter, but it's in one of those plastic containers. Yeah. And he's like, I can't open it. Yeah. And he's like, I need the knife inside to save a life, and it's in one of these fucking plastic things.
Yeah, it's always the safety protocols that fuck you.
Yeah, he's like, I can't get it. It's that's like one of my favorite episodes of Curb where he's just.
I've never actually heard of that.
You never seen that episode?
What is it?
Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Oh, Curb, no. Yeah, so I've heard of that, but I've never seen it yet.
Yeah, no, it's a great show. It's a great show.
Larry David, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so one of the things you and I talk about probably most is writing.
Because, mm-hmm.
like, you're one of the only other comics I know that writes probably more than you go up on stage.
Yeah, it's getting a
bit... Like, in terms of, like... TV and film ideas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The only other comic I know that does that is Deepak Sethi, and Deepak actually writes on shows and makes TV and shit like that.
Well, hopefully that's what's next.
Right. I mean, that's what we're all hoping for.
Honestly, I think I said that same thing 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But now I feel like I'm closer than ever, which I also felt 3 years ago.
The whole thing, though,
3 years from now, I'll still feel this way.
Yeah, but 3 years ago when I met Deepak, he just came off Family Guy, and then he came off Family Guy and got Brickleberry. So, like, at that point, he's like, it's just going to fucking snowball. And then he's done nothing since then. And he's worked on one project trying to get it made for the last 2 or 3 years.
That sucks.
So it's like...
I don't even like hearing that stuff.
Yeah, but I like to hear that stuff because it's realistic. It's just like, yeah, man, there's going to be peaks and valleys. And the trick is to when you hit the peaks, like, don't blow all your fucking money and... hold on to it, and because it's going to be another valley coming right around the corner.
My plan is to make enough money to be able to live forever in Mexico.
Yeah, that's a decent, realistic goal.
And then I escape my debts. I escape all that stuff. And I feel like Mexico is like a very vacation-y spot. You can like have a vacation, but very affordably there. Like,
yeah.
I can vacation for a month and spend less than I do living in L.A. for a month.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, but... I will say this, and I don't know if you've had this experience from like going back home or visiting with friends or stuff since you came out here, but like I went back to Philly, and my friends there, a lot of my friends work like really grueling jobs with shitty pay, and like, and it's just like clock in, clock out. There's no upwards mobility. There's no opportunity or any of that. I walked away from that trip home being like, they do that because that's their lives. Like we're doing that because we see a light at the end of the tunnel and go, after all this struggling of fucking Ubering and delivering food and all the shit we have to do to squeak by in Los Angeles, like there might be this really awesome opportunity of a cool life at the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, the best it gets is like, I have enough kids to decide as a group to put me in a home when I'm 60. And they don't, you know what I mean? Like it's for no reason there. And I'm just like, it's like the conversation we had at lunch, like, people look at homeless people and they're like, oh my God, they're so unfortunate. And I go, those are people who've quit that are too afraid to kill themselves. Like, mm-hmm. And to me, I was like, if I ever got to that point where I felt like there was no light at the end of the tunnel, like I'm not living for a purpose, I would just kill myself.
Yeah.
That's a logical choice. I'm like, why would I steal people who are trying's oxygen?
Well, that's like,
you know what I mean?
When I moved to California, I legit came out here to die. More or less, because like I knew I wasn't happy on the East Coast whatsoever.
Yeah. You were in New York,
I was like,
right?
Yeah, I was just out of a bad relationship. You know, like a bunch of stuff that, well, I guess it's not a bunch of stuff, just a bad relationship. But that to me is what the East Coast was, where I wanted to make my life, everything in my life depended around a relationship. I was like, I need to find a girl that I like, that also likes me. We need to get married. And then...
But you grew up on a part of the world where that's sort of the expectation of like...
I think,
well, if you have nothing, at least you have marriage and you have a family.
Like, I blame One Tree Hill.
Okay.
Basically.
Specifically.
I own all 9 seasons.
Okay.
They taught me how to love, but like they also didn't.
Nobody had beds in that show?
They forgot to cast the girlfriend for me. You know what I mean?
Like,
it's one of those things where it's it really affected me. And as I was as emotional as that show would let me be, which is so emotional, but over the dumbest shit ever.
Yeah.
You know, like a girl would blow me up. Like I got blown off for a date tonight, which was great because we actually that's what we did is we replaced that date.
With our own mandate.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we shared a dessert.
Similar features minus the beard. So, it was nice because basically it's almost like I didn't get blown off.
Wait a minute. But, so I just thought, I was like, that means he had a date with a big-titted redhead tonight. That's nice. You're similar features, no beard. I was like, I do have more feminine features than I have male features. I always have to ask when I have buddies who are like, dude, I love big-titted redheads. I'm like, yeah, but we're talking about chicks, right? Because this is about to be a real uncomfortable McDonald's lunch.
Yeah, exactly. Right? either it is or it isn't, because if they really are into you, then it's going to be a great lunch for them.
Well, yeah. Oh, and a great lunch for me, because I won't have to pay.
Their booths hide boat as well.
Is that what it's like to be a lady? That's the part I would love. In terms of transitioning into being a woman, is just like, is this what it's like to not pay rent or to not
do anything?
Not have to worry ever.
Yeah.
You never
as long as you're willing to like drop, because I know some girls that are very like independent, they need to accomplish things.
Yeah.
You know?
Quote, I'm gonna use bullshit air quotes on independent because even the independent ones also will like to throw in like, don't get me wrong, like I like you to be considerate and nice and to do nice things. And it's like, so you want the credit for doing everything for yourself, but then the right partner will step in and do everything for you.
Yeah.
Like, it does not...
I saw a girl post the other day back from Connecticut. She's like, I heard this girl bragging about how her boyfriend buys her everything. That should never be the case unless you're laid off, and then it's okay. And I was like, still no. Still no. The reason I am in such bad debt is because of my failed relationships.
I believe that.
But even if they were successful relationships, I'd probably be in more debt because that's what I would do. I'd be like, all right, need to take this girl out. Need to do this, need to do that, just so she maybe blows me after. You know, back then it was about love, but older me realizes love, blowjobs, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the same feeling as I just wanted somebody that was pretty to touch me.
Well, yeah, and then you get to a point where you've been with somebody so long enough, you're like, you don't blow me because you like to blow me. You blow me because you love me and you know it's necessary at some point.
I've never been to that point.
But, well, me neither. This is all new territory for me. This is my first long-term relationship. Before that, everything was like 3 months at most and we're out.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing like you're talking about. Like, But yeah, then you get to the point where, you know, I love listening to women be like, you know, the magic was just gone. It goes, yeah, that's called time.
Mm-hmm.
And my father's been married 5 times. And he put it so perfectly. He was like one of these guys who was adamant against getting back surgery or hips or any surgery he needed to like be a functioning senior citizen.
Mm-hmm.
So then he goes and gets the surgery. And I call him, I talk to him. I was out here and I go, Dad, how you feeling after the surgery? And he goes, man, I feel good enough to cheat on your stepmother. And I go, damn, man, are you going to get out and start working the fucking scene again? Like, you're going to go out and start fucking? He goes, you know, son, he goes, at some point, you just need to think about, is there going to be somebody around to put you in the box? And I was just like, damn, that dude just summed up his entire life in one sentence of like, it ain't about what's fun or sexy or exciting at some point. It's about the raw need of companionship, of having somebody to come home to and go, oh man, I had a shitty day. You know, and as much as we make fun of that as comics, like if you can't enjoy it when it becomes that, then you're going to break up.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of them are going to get to that point. And you're going to fuck each other out of this silly feeling of obligation and not because you want to.
Yeah.
And you're going to put a pillow over your face so you can think about somebody. Like there's just silly shit like that.
Have you ever put a pillow over your face?
Over my own face? No, but like she's put a pillow over her stomach when I'm going down.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I just do that because I'm cold. And I'm like, yeah, but you could use a blanket and still see my face. You picked a pillow
because
you can think about Idris Elba. Like, I know what the fuck we're doing. Like, let's not.
5 months ago, I met a girl off OkCupid. She was a little on the chubby side. She's an Asian girl. I called her Kung Fu Panda. I loved it.
That's the best nickname for a chick ever.
But like, I wasn't 100% attracted to her.
Right.
So I would watch porn while she blew me.
Okay. She's done. I've had that done to me.
She let that happen.
Yeah.
And I was just like, love you.
Yeah. You know, but that's the thing is like, and this is like.
And they were Asians. I always watched Asian porn, which is kind of like a knife in the back.
That's even worse. Like, these are better Asians. That would be like if my girlfriend was looking at porn with like less chubby redheaded comedians with like slightly bigger dicks.
Like watching game tape. This is how you can be better.
Yeah. You're watching high school football tape.
You see how she has...
See how he missed that tackle?
See how she has no waist at all?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's so fucking funny, man. No, I mean, but that's the thing. It all gets to that miserable point, so it's got to be built around the right things. And the problem is, you know, I feel like we're kind of circling the wagons on this entitlement that women have thing, but it's like they're entitled to the financial aspects of being in a relationship. They're entitled to the romance of being in a relationship of like, I need to be the same sexually attracted to you 2 years in that I was on the first day. Mm-hmm. It's like the first day you got hammered and I fucking bent you over behind a dumpster behind the Roxy and fingered your asshole. Like, we're never going to do that 2 years in. We share a mortgage. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the evolution of a relationship is not going to be that. But most women feel like when that happens that I still deserve that feeling, so mm-hmm. Get the fuck out of here and I'm going to move on to the next guy.
The finger in the butt thing, when a girl lets me do that to her, that's the equivalent of an engagement ring.
That is, it's brown.
I know as soon as they let that in, I'm like, all right, well, I like you, period.
Yeah,
because that's if that's on the table, then that's great.
That only ever happens to me like from a medicinal perspective of like, I can't shit. Can you fucking open up the hood, see what's under there? Because I don't know.
For you or for them?
No, for me. Like, no, for them. No, I don't. I have no one's ever been anywhere near my asshole intentionally.
So you help people poop?
I mean, if they have to, yeah. If a girl is constipated, and yeah, I have.
Really? I've never been through that.
I wear a glove. I'm not a fucking savage. I'll put on a latex. No,
this one time I was with...
I was like, I can't shit. And I was like, well, I'll see what's going on. Maybe there's an obstruction.
Yeah.
That I can remove.
It's a fun way to go about it.
Yeah. But it also ruins it sexually for you where you're just like, yeah, I've held your fecaliths in my fingertips because you have a shit diet.
Girls always have the smallest poop nuggets though, right? I don't know, because like here's the
no they
one
do
time,
yeah they do
there, I was dating a girl, she was drunk, we were in the shower, so I was just like, all right, there's never better time than the present, and I put a finger in there, but she wasn't ready, so like there was it was and it came out like the smallest like little nugget, so like when my finger came out, it was like an alien finger because it was like really big up top because there was a little nugget on
it. Oh god.
So that's what yeah so that and I was just and I didn't even I was so drunk
and you didn't
that
take
I,
it and
I,
just put it on your nose and be like boop.
I laughed and I went
like that. Oh, you flicked it?
Right down the drain.
Oh, yeah. That's why wouldn't you? Yeah.
Well, see, we had to do some water maneuvering for it to go down the drain. Like, it was to the side of the tub.
I've been down the road before. I know what it is. I
had to put my arm under the water where the stream came off of it into a point where it started to guide it into the drain. Make sure that she didn't drunkenly step
First
in
of
it.
All, you're acting like you're talking to a guy who's never had to wash shit down his shower drain before, okay? You don't think that's ever happened in my 32 years? You don't think I was ever in the shower and was like, ripped a fart and then realized something's running down my leg that's not water?
That's funny. I just do it on purpose.
Okay, you do, yeah.
It's just, as long as there's no net in that drain, we're
I had a friend. I had a friend tell a story on his podcast one time. It was like one of the most popular episodes of his show ever, where he talked about like trying to shit in the shower and then realized they couldn't wash it down, so then he was trying to like throw it in the toilet from the shower while he shat, and it was just like, he's like, I just like stopped in the middle of that situation and was like, what the fuck am I doing? Mm-hmm. Just like, yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, but you're already committed.
You're already, so that's it's the like,
there's
that's the
there's
move.
Already poop on your hands.
Yeah.
In your tub, everywhere.
Everywhere.
You know? And that's the thing, because if it blocks up the drain, then you're going to be in the shit up to your ankles because you got poop water.
Yeah.
And I've had that happen too.
I had
where
one.
Like after enough trips of doing that successfully, something in the drain, they got together and like lodged a strike against me. So like it was like fill up and I'm sitting there and I got my feet and the water's dirty because it's obviously like streaming off my body and stuff, which wasn't clean when
this
I got
the grossest
in.
Grossest episode of our show ever. It's Umami Burger, everyone. Check it out.
Umami means savory in Japanese.
I think that's what we're getting at.
That's the worst to me, is when my feet are in like a puddle of water in the shower because the drain is blocked up.
Yeah.
And you know that it's like a mixture of fecal matter and hair that's causing that.
Yes, of course. And I've had one where I had this really, like, I was, so when I had a corporate gig in 2006, I was like, I finally was making like really good money, and I could afford to not have a roommate for the first time ever. I was like 23, and I went and got this 2-bedroom townhouse, like apartments in Minnesota in like this nice suburb. It was like a 2-bedroom, 3-bathroom. And I remember one time though, the problem was it was all brand new shit, all new construction. So like, you can see where they sort of cut corners on these big commercial buildings when you start to like flush toilets and use the shower and everything else. It was like the first week I was living in this place, and I took a shit, man. And I left, like, I don't always pop out logs, but when I do, it's fucking impressive.
Yeah.
And I had like a log that was like super impressive. And I went to flush, and the fucking thing backed up. And I didn't own a plunger yet because I had just moved in.
Mm-hmm. So I still don't own one.
I literally was like trying to scoop paper out of the hole, like, please be enough. And I'll remember the fucking fear in your heart when you see a turd rising.
Oh, yeah.
With like a ship in the night, and it just makes that voyage over the lip of the bowl and goes rogue with all the toilet water out. I've never freed a shit before. But I did that day. And I got to tell you, it's etched into my fucking mind forever. This massive turd.
There's a Birth of a Nation joke to be made in there.
Just sailing to freedom fucking out of, like, I've never seen a shit out of water. It's what it was. And it was just on the floor, and it was just sailing across my bathroom floor, and I was just like, what do I do? Like, what do I do with this fucking turd? Like, because normally when you would find a shit, you would flush it.
That's so funny.
I just was like, it was the most...
You should make that an animated short with just, like, other little nuggets coming up out of the, like, cheering for it. Go! Go!
And then it got to a point where I was just like, how far is this fucking thing? What happens when it hits carpet?
It's true.
What happens when it hits the bedroom carpet?
Because then you got the absorption. It's at that point, it's just like a dead snail.
So I just sort of like cornered it like in the wall behind the toilet, like, and just, and I've like put obstructions. I put it in captivity like an orca for our own entertainment. And then, you know, it started a little sea world.
That's super funny.
Bathroom.
I just imagine its fin limping over.
I'm pouring water on it so it doesn't drown. Like, no, we have to. We're
a bunch of activists outside your door.
So actually, what happened is we ended up putting it in the back of like a Toyota Tundra and trying to get it to the ocean before it died.
Yeah, that's,
that was the whole episode.
It jumped over you while you're standing on a pile of rocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was exactly what happened.
When I was in the military, the most impressive shit I ever took came out of the bowl.
Out of like the same situation,
not water wise. It hit bottom and logged out of me.
It,
like,
grew
so
out of the bowl.
A lot of military food, but I was also like big into working out, so like everything in me just fibered up, and it went from the bottom of the bowl.
You snaked
in,
it
in like a solid log size thing, and it hit the ledge and teetered, and to the point where I went and I grabbed a dude, and the entire floor of the dorm, we're talking maybe 300 people, came in there to take pictures of it and send it to their families.
To their families.
No, it was that good of a shit. Like, it was so unbelievable to people that they were just like, "Mom, you gotta see this. This is crazy. Like, you're afraid about
it,
Iraq. Look at this
dude."
It
didn't break. Yeah.
Yeah, and it stayed real strong.
So impressive.
I had to flush 3 times before it even started to deteriorate a little bit.
There was one that you almost had to chop up to get it to go down.
My neighbors growing up, because I clogged their toilet, like, they had to take a, this dude's older brother used
like
a fork.
A shit stick?
He used a fork to scramble it up. And after that, they wouldn't let me crap in their house anymore. So every time I had to crap, they made me run home. Which wasn't that far, but
it's pretty awesome.
When I have to shit, it's past the point of when I have to, you know what I mean?
Like, oh yeah, I'm the same way. Like,
I do the penguin walk.
I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's like, why do we get home and you have to like run? And I'm like, because when it hits, it's fucking go time.
Yeah.
I don't get like a, hey, you might have to shit in 30 minutes, so gradually make your way home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm usually kicking the door of a fucking bathroom in Compton down, like, I gotta go! Yeah. And I'll sit on fuck the Jews on the toilet seat all day.
You'll see all the motivation and movement leave my body. I'll stand completely still, and then you'll hear me go, and that's when you know.
That's it.
Like, there's something bad. Like, last night, I did shit my pants a little bit. But it was like a liquid one. You know, I was going through a little bit of a time, a little stomach bug maybe.
Yeah.
I don't even know really what it was. but I went to laugh. And as I laughed, like the spurt opened, you know, just like Just like a quick little fucking shot.
I do it. I can't. We're like the same age, right? I can't fucking sneeze or cough without farting, like one out of three.
Yeah.
And that's like playing Russian roulette.
Oh my.
That's like Deer Hunter, because I know, like.
Do you ever have a problem when you're beaten off though?
No.
No. I've had that where I was like in the middle of a session where I was like jerking off something like that. I guess there's no way to like put that eloquently. I also had to crap. And when I got to the climax portion, I was just like, oh no.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's just like an outrageous homophobia, but I can't get an erection if I have to shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it made me wonder when you were telling that story. It's like, you ever taken a shit so big you're like, I could take a dick.
Yeah.
Like I could take a pretty harsh fucking, I think. Like, you ever take one that made you think like, bring me your biggest, meanest penises. I bet I could fucking penises. That sounds like a delicious candy. Meanest penises. Oh, God. Get on it, Mars. Right. Corporation.
That's the part of the Willy Wonka tour they couldn't show you.
That's the X-rated.
That's so funny. That'd be a perfect premise for a Willy Wonka porno.
Yeah, meanest penis. Yeah, this is our room where we make the meanest penises. It's just all Lexington steel molds.
It's the big blue ball Violet Beauregard.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Every girl that I've ever... every girl that I've ever been with, who's like, I just don't do anal. And it's like, I realized the correlation over the years of like, oh, it's because you've dated like four black guys. Of course you don't do anal.
Like, I find it to be the opposite.
Really?
Black dudes are really good at getting girls to give up the booty. And I think it's because, well, this might cause some controversy,
but
I know girls that are like in an experimental phase when they go with the black dude.
And oh, so then it's all exactly, open. Like, yeah.
Well, you see, it's how dad's already upset. Might as well just let him drill my ass out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And maybe it's also the idea that, too, that, like, well, if he does pull it out and there's a little bit of shit on it, I won't notice for, like, 45 days.
No. True. Yeah, especially the ones that still have foreskin because it could pop up over it and just, like...
Oh, God. So bad.
Yeah. I'm so lucky to not have foreskin. I got mine removed when I was 7 years old.
Yeah, I got... Oh, man. So you were, like, loose.
Yeah. I was a child. Basically, I wasn't going to get it done. And then the blankets started to outgrow the pig. And they were like, instead of doing, like, these pullback exercises that you're supposed to do when you have your foreskin still... So it doesn't, like, trap it shut or whatever the fuck. They were like, all right, we're going to finally get you your surgery.
And circumcision.
It hurts so bad, like, because, like, they put it in a little dick cast. And I got a Sega Genesis out of it. That was good, you know, like.
You're like, I still have that Sega Genesis.
We do. We still have
that.
That's
amazing.
It was the coolest thing ever because all the kids in the neighborhood wanted to come over to play this game, but I couldn't play it comfortably because I always wanted to lay on my stomach, and I couldn't because my dick was in a cast.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it's not like a soft cast. It's a hard cast.
Oh,
it's just like I'm like this, like, permanent boner. I still had to go to school.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I had to pee through it, and it was a really bad time. I can actually remember how bad it hurt to pee through my dick cast.
Well, I had a similar thing. I was fortunately circumcised while I was a baby, just like hospital, no fucking ceremony.
Yeah, like the normal way.
The normal way. But I had an undescended testicle at 5, and they had to go in and move that thing to the ball sack where it belonged. And I remember having to crab walk. I had stitches, like... hard old school stitches, black, in my nutsack, and I had to like crab walk down my hallway at 5 years old because that was so fucking painful.
This is a really intense episode.
Yeah, man, we're into shit talk.
Yeah, this is
ball. We're talking about penis. We've both had genital procedures.
True.
How many people have had a genital procedure?
I'm so happy that it happened when I was 7, though, because I feel like he had just a little.
There are people that had.
Just a little more dick to work with.
Yeah.
And he made it really good. Like, I feel like I ended up, I've seen...
You got a better Cirque job out of it.
For sure. Watching
you
porn.
You got the Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, my God, dude. I was watching porn the other day, and there was this transgender chick in it, and she had a turkey gobbler on her
neck. Oh,
her
no.
Neck. Yeah, like, it was like, there was, well, the foreskin was pulled down and gone, like, the surgery was done. But whoever did it just left this, like, extra grocery bag there. Without, you know, and it was really...
How do you not malpractice that guy?
How do you let that into porn? I couldn't even concentrate on the good parts.
You're like, what kind of asshole casting director is going to overlook
fucking
that?
Put somebody on a dick with a giblet. It's the worst in the fucking...
I would turn it off.
Yeah.
I would turn it off.
I didn't either. That's the thing. I know you did. I was like, is this real?
It's one
is
of those things 20
minutes
like,
is this still real?
Yeah, it's like all those people are like, I would never watch a snuff film. And then you're like 30 minutes into it, and you're like, it's totally fake.
Yeah, yeah.
I know we all just came four times, but like, now can we critique how fake this is?
If we spend 39 minutes disgusted with watching it,
it
offsets the fact that we're still watching.
I don't even think it's real, bro. It's amazing that things you'll
wicked
look,
funny. Imagine if it wasn't. Imagine if that was just like some kind of weird new sex toy for people that like to fuck turkeys.
Oh, like a weird dick giblet? No,
I don't. It's like a cock ring, but instead it's like a scrunchie.
I can't watch that show Botched for that. Like, I saw one episode of that show Botched.
I've met more people out here that have been on that show.
Yeah,
than
well,
most
one
other
of a comic that does shows with us has been on that show.
Ty was on it, right?
No, I don't know if Ty. Oh, Ty Rivera was on it.
Yeah,
I didn't know if Ty was on it, but I was talking about Tuesday Thomas. Yeah, she was on it, and she's like one of the nicest ladies in comedy. But it's the funniest shit. When we met Tuesday, it was at a show, and my girlfriend was with me, and she's like, is that a dude? And literally, as she whispered it to me, Tuesday's like, I've had so much plastic surgery. Every place I go, people wonder if I'm a dude. And I was just like, oh my God, she's in your brain. Like, she's doing it right now. But she's got a great sense of humor about it. And she's really funny. But I didn't see her episode. But I saw this other one where these like two sisters had both gotten gastric bypass, but then like eaten their way past the gastric bypass. So they were fat, but in like a Jabba the Hutt melty way. Mm-hmm. And it was... all the skin had just been demolished. And I was like, oh, well, it's like, it's interesting, but they're not going to show it. And they're like, then they take all their clothes off and show it. I'm like, oh God, it's the most disgusting thing.
I'm not a fan. Like, you, same thing with like Biggest Loser and everything.
Oh yeah, I can't
take their shirts
and
off.
I'm fat, it's like, I don't have weird fat guy shit going on.
I can't
on.
Imagine being as fat, like, cause I've always considered myself obese, heavy. And like right now, I'm at a level where my heartburn is out of control.
Yeah.
Out of control, where if I don't take medicine for it, I can't sleep because it keeps me up.
I get it, too.
High.
I live on Pepcids, man.
Believe me, I know. Every time you, like, stop to take a breath, I'm, like, right here with you, man.
Yeah.
And it's fucking, it's like, a crazy thing to me to imagine what their bodies, what if they don't have acid reflux? What if their body was built to just let them be the biggest thing in the world without the repercussions? Because I couldn't let myself get that big because I know every day would be hell.
You're like me, I think, where it's sort of like you don't give a shit about the aesthetic of it. So you're like, and I don't want to speak for you, so I could be wrong, but like, I don't give a shit about the aesthetic of it. But what does fucking scare me straight is like when I start feeling shit breaking down in my body. Like I was getting gallstones a couple months back, I was like, okay, I'm going vegan for like a week. And I'm only drinking apple juices, and I'm going to beat these fucking things down without having to get my gallbladder removed. And I did. But then, like, 2 weeks later, I'm right back to eating fucking pizza and milkshakes. Like, that shit didn't just almost happen. You know what I mean? It's just, it's this crazy...
Laying on the floor teaches me a lot about my body, because I can feel everything.
Yeah.
And, like, if I roll on my left side right now, there's, like, some pretty significant pain, and I'm pretty sure it's either, like, a kidney or a liver or something I need.
Yeah.
But I've only been eating McDonald's, 7-Eleven, Burger King, Panda Express,
Panda
Subway,
Express.
Hawaiian Ono or whatever the fuck that place is called. And that's because they're like less than a block from where I live.
Yeah.
And all my meals are those meals, which are like the worst. The last time I went somewhere other than those places, I ordered Wingstop and I got food poisoning so bad that I lost 15 pounds in 2 days.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, it felt great.
That's the best kind of food. You cut me off and you said the same shit. It felt great. It's the best you felt, right? Yeah.
It was a real sad weekend because I was watching my roommate's dog. He's got this little chihuahua and I couldn't take it out. So like we were both shitting on the floor side by side. I thought... because I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
It might have been the E. coli thing.
Well, I can tell you, I'm pretty sure I got E. coli because the funny thing is the symptoms of E. coli are not always that you would get, most of the time you don't get diarrhea, you get really bad cramping and constipation. That's what I had from it.
I was making cow noises. You know, like when you're so fucked up that you just go, Like you need to let it out, but you need there to be sound attached to it.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing. And I was there alone. I thought he was going to come home
and find you and the dog.
The floor with
and
the dog, dog on top of me.
Yeah.
Covered in shit. Boosting that immune system.
Dog will never
healthiest
get sick
dog
again.
On earth.
Yeah. He's like, I just ate dead E. coli human shit. I'm all
get, like,
set.
A good, nice little eulogy at my funeral. He died taking care of my puppy.
Oh my God, man, we're fucking horrible people. We're gonna die together. We're both gonna die of like horrible diet and lack of
exercise.
Unless
I become successful, because that's the thing is like, my friends like you don't need to go to like I need to go to the gym if I also want to eat healthy. For me, it's just hand in hand. I would never eat healthy and not go to the gym. I've seen fat vegetable eaters, and I'm not okay with that.
Like, yeah, it doesn't work. Like I know I can. I'm one of those people. I played sports in high. You did too, right?
Yeah,
played
yeah.
sports in high school.
So not like. Well.
But I was the kind of kid, and I still am kind of a person where if I get in the gym and I'm doing it, I can eat whatever the fuck I want and lose weight. The problem is, the converse is not true. Like if I just diet, I don't lose shit.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't. I have a body that will gain weight. And it was funny because
I lose my happiness is what I lose.
Also that. Yeah. But I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast, and Joe's a pretty big fat shamer. Like, I don't give a shit. I mean, the dude's jacked up, and he's in good shape, and he's, you know, his fucking primary source of income or one of his primary sources of income is around sports. So it all makes sense to me. But he did sort of like, one thing I respect about Rogan is he'll play devil's advocate on his own opinions. And he was like, you know, if you think about genetics, some people are just going to be genetically predisposed to put on weight because they're from colder climates. Where that was how they fucking survived hundreds of years ago. And if evolution really is as slow moving as we talk about, like your body's not going to evolve out of that in the amount of time that, you know, you'll even be alive. So like you're still going to have people fucking that are just built that genetically wired to be like, oh, I might be a month between meals, so store everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think. You know, while it's easy for me to be like, oh, you know, it's not genetics or that's all bullshit or it's an excuse, there's also the part of me that's like, but it does make sense that somebody who comes from a culture of a more nomadic culture would have a predisposition to store food than to burn it.
Yeah, but even if you would look at those nomadic people, they weren't fat back then because they were.
But it was also but it was also because the meals were few and farther in between.
Exactly.
Like, so, but that's the thing. Like, if you have the genetic predisposition to store food and you're eating every fucking day like we do, and you're eating garbage, you're gonna store it.
Exactly.
But we know you also know people like that can fucking go to the gym maybe once or twice a week or less, and they eat whatever the fuck they want, and they're rail thin.
Yeah, super skinny. My friend Tanisha is like that. She was just like, oh, man, I'm getting too skinny. And I was like,
NPH is like that. Like, I know NPH says she goes to the gym all the time, but, like, I've seen that chick put down, like, 30 beers and a fucking full-size burger and shit, and I feel like she gets thinner every time I see her.
Yeah,
like
I feel
I'm
like
just
she
like,
lives an active enough life to maintain that, though. But she
probably
has a very thin body. Like,
probably so. Yeah,
long
but like
legs. Her family probably used to like deliver mail before there were vehicles.
Right. Okay. She was Pony. Her family were the ponies from Pony Express.
I forgot about horses.
Yeah.
I brought us back to a time where
you
mail
just
had
forgot,
to be delivered.
You just forgot horses existed.
Yeah, I completely spaced it.
All right. It's just that's fucking funny shit. So, well, we were talking, we're burning through this. We were talking about like female entitlement and shit earlier. And you and I, we both kind of got on this same topic of discussion about, because we both have like things coming up or opportunities coming up. And we were kind of talking about like how easy it is now to just sort of be taken down or to have sort of like an internet scandal pop off of something that could be insignificant or misinterpreted or whatever, and it just got me thinking about like that Beth Stelling thing. And now there's another situation that just popped up in LA where a comedian who was prosecuted for I guess a sex crime but got off and was acquitted.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are dropping out of a festival, and I think they took him off, right? They took him off the festival.
I think he took himself off.
He did? Yeah, he was just like, fuck
you.
Well,
he was getting paid for it.
Yeah.
He was going up there to, like, that's the thing, is he was traveling 4 hours plus, you know, to go up there and perform for this shit, and then that stuff drops. And that's something where he spent a good part of a year
fighting that thing. And the problem is, And here's the thing, like, I'm not saying that there aren't scumbags, and I'm not saying that there aren't bad people who have done bad things, but that's why we have a fucking justice system.
Yeah.
And to me, like, if you go through that and you beat it, like, you shouldn't have to then go deal with the court of public opinion for the rest of your fucking life.
Yeah.
And just being able to say, like, well, I don't care what the justice system found, I believe this, so I'm not going to...
And can I also say, because I'm not like this girl, I see a lot of people are posting about it on Facebook now, and all of them say, like, it's not okay because he's aggressive with women, and I'm not okay with that. And I can tell you personally, I've seen him be aggressive with women.
Sure.
Who wouldn't talk to me because I wasn't aggressive.
Right.
And went home and fucked him because yeah. he was, and that's what they wanted. So it's fucking very strange
so
to
it
take
is,
something
yeah, it is
because there's dudes out there that are very aggressive, that are very mean, that are very different. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
And there's somebody out there that fucking wants that.
Yeah.
And that's so to be like, oh yeah, he's got this character trait and I'm not okay with it, so we can't
well,
have him
you,
work in entertainment.
Well, also too, like it's this is the thing that this so I do a lot of comedy about race and gender and everything. And the part of your brain that says, I don't like this person because they're sexually aggressive towards the opposite gender is the same part of your brain that says, I don't like this person because they're gay.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't like this person because they're black.
Yep.
It's really all rooted in the I don't like this person because they live their life or do something different than I think is okay.
Yeah.
And it is very judgmental. The thing that's terrifying about it is how it's... So to me, when you look at how people responded to her or responded to Beth Stelling and that whole situation... It was like this immediate rewarding of you're brave, you're a hero. And that would be like a guy going, fuck black people, and people going, you're brave and you're a hero.
Exactly.
And it's just like, and the rest of
the nation
and the rest of the world would be like, are you fucking seeing this right now?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, another thing too, because you talk about the race, like there's this interview with Russell Simmons, when he's talking about the segregation in Hollywood and everything like that. And he brought up comedy nights. He's like, yeah, you go to Hollywood. They got Mo Better Mondays and whatever the other days are that they have.
Chocolate Sundays.
Mo
Better Mondays.
Tuesdays. And he called them N-word nights. I'm not going to say it. Yeah.
Actually, I've been to that one. I've been to one called Nigga Nights.
That's what he called it.
Yeah,
and I was
yeah.
just like, well, that's fucked up for you to say because
yeah.
those people won't put me on their show.
Right.
But all those people have been on mine.
I'll tell you a story about that. I did a Def Jam audition for Bob Sumner before the final season of Def Jam. And they put me last after 15 comedians with names like Nah Sup and fucking Y'all Over There and shit like that. And they thought they were feeding this chunky white kid to the wolves.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up and fucking murdered. And I'm glad I pulled this clip off my hard drive because my hard drive just crashed. But I have the clip from that night where I destroyed with two jokes. I had two jokes that were perfect for black audiences, and it just murdered. And Bob Sumner came up to me afterwards and was like, you had the best set of the night, but you're white and you'll never be on the final season of Def Jam. So like, if you want to come and write for some of the guys that are going to be on there, we'd love to have you. And I was like, I was like 21 or 22. I was like, I'm not fucking writing for, you know...
So yeah,
Eagle
I'm
Dick
gonna,
over there,
yeah.
whatever the fuck his
I'm
name
gonna,
is.
I'm
like,
not gonna make Shaquan look better.
Yeah, exactly. Like that motherfucker's got no jokes, and
yeah.
and you just like him because he's young and he's light skinned enough, and like
yeah.
you know, you get into the. That's the thing that drives me nuts is with all this Oscar shit. Nobody's talking about the fucking discrimination inside the black community. Like, so Tone Bell's the only black actor working.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like they picked Tone Bell because he's non-threatening and he's clean cut and he's the right swatch of black.
Yeah, he's very white.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's him, and who's the other guy who gets all the fucking opportunities? You know, I mean...
Gerard. But
Gerard's a little different.
He's starting to fall off.
Yeah, but it's like...
He's special.
But again,
special is the reason
why did Gerard get pushed through the machine so quickly? Because he's not aggressive. He's educated. He's got a different point of view. It's almost like saying...
They find somebody who has no scandals, and then they latch on to them.
They're like we're going to find the one good black one, and then that's going to be our black one.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get more offended at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there are guys out there... I'll give you a great example. Tony Baker is fucking one of the funniest dudes. How is he not playing a sitcom dad or something like that?
I'm always pulled in different directions with him because I'm friends with Mike Anthony Scott. And apparently, he's lifted some of his jokes.
Or vice versa or whatever. They have similar shit.
Yeah, or Tony's been on TV with Mike
and
jokes.
Done stuff that might, yeah. So it's like, this, it's like mean, the Schumer
not,
scandal.
Not that
of
it
like,
should bother me that much, but yeah. Like being, you know, like I'm pretty loyal to Mike. So every time I say that, I can say he's made me laugh for sure.
Yeah.
But at the same token, it's
yeah,
like,
I've never heard
what,
that.
What are you willing to do?
I've never heard that about Tony. Yeah,
that's, I mean, that's like a typical thing though with older comics anyways. There was, I was at a mic and there was a comic there. That like it was like a had a store a name on the store wall in like 72, and I knew because he had to tell everybody as soon as he walked into the room.
Yeah,
and I couldn't do jokes in front of him because I knew if they were good, he'd take them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's kind of a weird thing about doing those clubs in those rooms is because I mean, I'll tell you this: the first year I lived in LA, I watched. It was just a weird serendipitous series of events. I was at the Comedy Store. It was like my first week in LA or first month. I lived in Long Beach, so I was at the Comedy Store watching comics, and I watched my friend go up and do this dumb bit about his daughter and the words on the back of the pants and shit like that. And it was like a bit that so many comedians have done. But he had specific examples about the story of how that conversation came up with him and his daughter. And Jamie Kennedy went up two spots after him. And then we went to the Long Beach Laugh Factory two nights later and saw Jamie Kennedy headline, and Jamie Kennedy did that bit word for word and told it from the perspective of somebody who watched that conversation transpire between father and daughter.
Yeah.
So it's like, you straight took his fucking joke and did it two nights later, and we were there, and he was with me, and we saw it. And I was just like, are you going to fucking say anything to him? And the dude, this was back when he was with Jennifer Love Hewitt. And so she was there, and everyone's taking pictures, and he's like, dude, I'm not going to go over there and fucking make a scene. But I was just like, he had no fucking idea that like two guys who were in the room, like I literally watched the gears working and then go two nights later and you fucking were struggling and you went to somebody else's joke you heard two nights before.
Yeah. That's something that I think it was Bill Burr that said it. I don't know if it was on a podcast or an interview or something like that, but he said he stopped going to the store a lot because he was there one night. And he saw like an old time comic watching one of the mics, and he was like, "Oh, it's great." He went up. I think Tommy was running at the time, and he was like, "Oh, it's great. You know that they're showing support. That's really nice. You don't see that often."
And they saw Tommy the old guy whoever, do the kid's bits.
Well, that's the Tommy or whoever's running it is like, "Ah, oh, yeah, his material has been stale, so we told him he had to come in and sit in so he could get some new material." And he was like, "You serious? He's just here to lift jokes from people?" He's like, "Yes, that's what this is for, so our paid regulars can grow."
Like, Tommy actually justified
what do you
it.
Mean?
Oh my god,
yeah.
That dude's insane. I got to tell you, I never really had much experience with Tommy at the store, but I will say this: I listened to his podcast with Earl.
I didn't, but he's been very good to me.
Tommy always says, yeah. Yeah. Well, the only thing I know is I did an OR show for a Bringer Booker one time and had the best set in the entire store that night. And Tommy was just like, I don't care how good he is. He doesn't come and do potluck. He doesn't hang out here. I don't give a shit. And I was just like, really, motherfucker? Like, I just leveled that. By the way, someone very famous popped in front of me or popped in behind me and took 5 minutes to get settled after my set.
Yeah.
Like, and she was prepping for a very big special and was like, how about that guy? Like, couldn't fucking just come in and drop heat.
Yeah,
because people were just like, could you fucking believe that? And it was just like, I'm not going to take all the credit for it because I have some jokes that play race against race. And when the room is perfectly black and white mixed, it's just going to happen.
Yeah.
The magic is there.
Yeah.
But when it's too white, it'll be okay or it won't do well. Or if it's too black, it'll be okay or it won't do well. But when the mix is perfect and they're playing along with you, like you can't follow that fucking bit when it's the right group of people for that bit to work.
Yeah.
And so it was just like the perfect situation, but it was one of those things of just like, we're watching so-and-so who's dropping a special or filming a special next week struggle behind me, and you're going, come here and sign up for potluck? I'm a 10-year veteran, motherfucker.
And the potluck thing is bullshit too, because I know for a fact that one of my friends just auditioned for the spot to be a regular at the store, has never performed there in her entire life. And her
I know who you're talking about.
Sent a thing to the dude and was like, "Can she do this?" And he said, "Yeah." And that's it. That's it. And
so it's if it becomes that
the years of work. But at the same token, there's a lot of names on that wall of people that are not comedians.
Yeah,
not comedians and whatsoever.
And also don't still come there.
Yeah, and are there
and there's comedians that are names are on the wall and don't perform there.
Well, there's so many of them that are awful. That's the thing that kills me, is because you walk, especially as a young comic, like I first walked up there and I was like, all right, I should respect these people. But then I got to know a lot of them. I was like, all right, he's 60 and he's delivering pizza. And he, you know, and I was just, but I watched them on stage and they weren't, I was like, even when I wasn't a comic, I don't think I would have found this funny. How did they get in? And it's because they stayed coming back to the store years and years and years till eventually they just passed them. And what kind of fucking, what kind of like policy is that? Yeah, you've been trying for 15 years. You're still your shit.
Yeah.
But here's your name on the wall.
Well, it's the definition of being
grand. Go headline in Idaho.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. And then Idaho gets ruined from these fucking cars. The same thing as when a hot girl goes on tour who's got 20 minutes, headlines for an hour, and then takes another hot girl that doesn't even do comedy. And it's like, yeah, she's my feature. Talk to them for a half hour. That's stupid. And it makes me mad.
Yeah.
You're a hot girl. You take an ugly guy with you. To offset comedy balance.
Right.
That's the thing.
Who's funny.
Exactly.
Who's funny.
You need to have somebody to give the jokes.
Even
so
Chelsea did that with
else.
Chewy forever.
Yeah.
Chelsea did that with a lot of her openers. But I mean, like, you know, it's just like...
She was a different animal, though. Like, Chelsea Handler is fucking hilarious.
Oh, dude, that new... I gotta tell you, I it's funny because I watched, like, the last 2 years of her show. I never really watched it in its heyday. I watched the last 2 years of Chelsea lately. And I was like, man, this chick doesn't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. And then I realized it's because of the way that deal ended and all the... political shit that was going on behind the scenes of her working it out. But you see her sort of refreshed and renewed in this new docu-series, and she's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's really fucking funny. I mean, I was like, if you would have asked me 2 years ago, like, are you a Chelsea Handler fan? I'd be like, no fucking way. She's hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
She's really funny. And, you know, the and that's the thing. She's always left out of the who are the best chicks in comedy. It's always Whitney Cummings and Eliza Schlesinger and Amy Schumer, and she's Nikki Glaser, and she's never included in that. Never.
You think, like, well, that's... I'm not accustomed to seeing... I've never actually seen her stand up.
Yeah.
So when I see, when I think women in comedy, I don't think Tina Fey. I think somebody
who
does
stand-up. Sure, yeah. You think stand-up, yeah.
But at the same
time... I think Chelsea's funnier at this kind of stuff than she is as a stand-up. I think she's funnier reacting to people, you know, in that format of, like, this is me. Like, I think she's way funnier being plopped into a situation.
Yeah.
And being able to make fun of it.
There's a lot of bad shit going on in comedy anyways. Because, like, the people that they're touting as greats aren't really great. They're just fucking... They had something like... Here's an example that's not going to be a popular opinion. But Tig Notaro is not that funny.
Mm-hmm.
Her album Live or Live was hilarious. It was the best thing ever. And it was just all off the cuff because she had just been diagnosed with cancer, like, the day prior.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And then she had, like, that's, like, she came with a documentary where it's like, yeah, now I have to write a full hour, and I don't know what to do. Like, I got to start over. I'm not funny anymore. And it was, to me, it's just like, okay, you've always been an okay comic. And then you got cancer, so there's a meaning behind it. And it turned into another one of those, like, think
well,
piece articles.
It becomes about the story and not about the quality of
exactly,
the art.
Exactly, because that's the thing. And then she gets
nobody
an
cares
HBO
about
special.
Nobody
and it's
cares
awful,
about that.
And then she takes off her shirt to expose that she has no breasts, and that's brave.
Yeah.
That's great. Give her a fucking bravery special, not a comedy special.
Yeah.
It's just, it's really, like, that's all the comedy specials that I've seen on HBO so far have been terrible. I hear Whitney Cummings is awesome, and I look forward to seeing it. I just get too
high. I'll tell you, no, the new one is okay. Her last one was fucking amazing. She has this rant joke in the last special she did where, and I saw her do it at the store. She did this bit where she talked about being cold because she lasered off all the hair off of her body. She goes, I didn't do that for me. I did that for you, you fucking pedophiles. Like, calling men creeps because they don't like hair on women. I was like, that's an amazing bit. Like, it's like a 5-minute bit when you see her do the whole thing. And I think it ended up being like 2 or 3 on the special, but it was fucking gold. And I was just like, that's really good. I think the new one fell short of the last one.
Yeah,
I can't remember what the last one was called. I want to say Love You Mean It, but that was her show. So I can't remember what the last one was.
I remember the poster was
it was like
with
a
her
heart open. Yeah, it was that. That one was great.
Yeah.
And I saw her first one. It was like, you know, where she comes out and she's like, what's up, bitches, or whatever. It was like Money Shot or something like that. Her very first one. And that was garbage. Second one was great. New one's like meh.
So, I like her a lot because she's so spiteful. If you've heard interviews with her on podcasts and stuff,
yeah,
she talks about being in New York for like 10 years, and every single time, like, lining up with hundreds of other comics, going to try to get on Access TV for the Gotham Live show,
right?
And every single year, 100 other comics would make it, and she wouldn't. And my favorite moment was when she said, where the fuck are they now? Where are those 1,000 other comics that were better than me now? And I was like, yeah, you fucking tell them.
Well, here's the thing. You know everybody thinks that shit. All the famous ones think that shit.
Yeah, but she's the only one that said it. Every time, and I lit up like a Christmas tree. I was like, new best friend.
I watched Bill Burr on Colin Cowherd today, and he's like, you know, Colin's like a guy who's not an aficionado on comedy. He's a sports guy.
Yeah.
And he just looks at Bill and he goes, you're in your comedy prime right now. And Bill just sits back and makes this face like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, fuck off, comedy prime. And then he started ripping into him. He's like, I'm not going to blow out a fucking Achilles and forget how to write jokes.
Yeah.
He's like, we're not athletes. I'm not going to have a decline. You know what I mean? Like, it was just so like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Did you see
his first reaction to that was that visceral, like, here we go with the fucking labels. He's the voice of a generation, and she's the darling of Hollywood and shit. Like, he can fucking express all that angst with a look.
Yeah.
Of just like, ugh. Ugh.
Did you see his F is for Family?
Oh, yeah. It was funny.
My favorite part was the Christmas episode when he pulls into the driveway and that song, that real sad song is playing, and then he starts singing along with it, but it doesn't cut.
Yeah.
It's just him singing along for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I've been in that situation so many times where I think that, to me, made me give that whole series a 5-star rating.
Do you know my whole rating system with Netflix? It's very simple. Mm-hmm. If I have an out loud emotional reaction to the content, it's a 5.
Mm-hmm.
If it makes me cry or if it makes me laugh out loud, it's a 5. If it's unique and interesting in any way and I really enjoyed it, it's a 4. If I finished it and I liked it, it's a 3. If I finished it and I didn't like it, it's a 2. And if I didn't finish it because it was so bad, it's a 1. It's that. It's super easy.
What is it if you've watched 5 seasons of a 24-episode season show in the last week and a half? Would that be a 5, or is there a new rating system?
No, I would. That has nothing to do with the amount of time invested. That's the problem with rating systems. People get their own ideas involved with it. So it's like, well, here's how I... No, if it makes you laugh, and that... It's funny when I point that to people when they're just like, I'll give it a 4. And I'm like, dude, you were laughing out loud the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's shit I've given a 5 that I don't like the person and I don't like their stuff, but they had one bit that made me laugh for 3 minutes straight.
Yeah.
And it gets a 5. By my own rules, it has to get a 5.
Well, as somebody that does Postmates, I got a 4 out of 5. I have a 5-star rating system for my thing. And I got my thing from last week and it said you have 4.93 rating over after all the deliveries.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's great. But who gave me a 4?
Yeah.
I dropped off their food.
Yeah.
I'm not the restaurant. I'm the guy that brought it to them in a really fast time because I'm good like that. How the fuck did somebody rate? Like, what's their scale on a
4?
What did they go through in their day to be like, oh, man, this guy could have been better? He could, you know, he...
Also, it's a 2-second interaction.
Exactly.
Like, no, like how
a lot of them, actually,
terrible.
A lot of them tell me to leave their food at their door.
That's weird.
That's how introverted they are. They're like, I can't have you see my face.
You know what I would do if somebody did that to me? I would text them and go, I just left your food at your door. And then when they open the door, I'd just have my pants down and I would expose
myself.
When
I don't need
the
job anymore.
That's how you'll quit.
Yeah.
You'll go out in a blaze of glory.
I got laid doing it. This is a great story.
Let's do that. Okay. So I guess real quick, let's wrap up that last that last topic of I don't want to get into a whole episode. Before we tell this fuck story that's probably really gratuitous and awesome, I don't like that we live in a world where people can just fucking annihilate you in public for things that are pretty illegal to do. And in some cases, if you're not willing, you're not even willing to press charges for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's a different situation. That's kind of where I was mixed on the Cosby thing. Like, nobody's fucking pressed charges. And then it came out that over the years, a lot of chicks did press charges and they were paid off or, you know, so on and so forth. So there's a lot of different aspects to it. But it is one of those things of, like, you and I talked about this situation where there was a comic that jumped out and was like, hey, you know, I don't want anything to happen to this person and I'm not going to say their name, but they did a really horrible thing to me a while ago and I just thought I'd share that. And it's just like, ooh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, I like how I'm sitting here talking about women destroying men's lives, and you're like, yeah, but check out the tits on this one.
It's the one I'm going to tell you his life I destroyed in just a second.
Okay, that's amazing that it all happened. So people have asked me if I've ever been got laid by Uber. I've been single while Uber driving. I will tell you I've been invited into situations that probably were that, but I didn't. I just would be like, that's very nice of you to invite me in, but you know, I'm out here to work to make money tonight. So the tough thing is going to be when some chick's like, I'll pay you. Then I'm just going to have to text my girlfriend and go, look, I'm about to get paid to have sex, which you should be a comedy to you. You shouldn't even care.
Exactly.
And I'm going to go do that because it's just for the story.
100%.
So to be like, this got paid to fuck something.
Yeah.
Human.
Yeah.
But how did you turn? So enough. This is stupid. I feel like I'm trying to force what we were going to talk about back into this conversation. Is just not an organic fit. The bottom line is, if somebody did something to you that's criminal or illegal or wrong, fucking follow the judicial system, press charges, and follow the case through. Like the Patrick Kane thing, this girl went on the internet, was like, Patrick Kane, you know who he is, the player for the Chicago Blackhawks. She's like, he raped me, and EA Sports took him off the cover of the video game, and he lost a bunch of endorsements and everything else. Well, then it comes down to the case, and there's so little evidence and so much conflicting bullshit from the woman's testimony, he throws the whole fucking case out.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially you have a judge who's an appointed person, generally because of his credibility as an attorney. That's how you become a judge. Decides this case is such bullshit, I'm not even going to try it. We're not even going to have a case. I'm going to throw the case out. And people were just like, there it is, big money buying their verdicts and paying people off, and he's the rapist and a murderer. And then other girls started coming out going, he fucking fisted me in a bathroom against my will. And it's just like, how often does this shit happen? Like, I'll understand if 1 in 10 goes unreported, but are you telling me like 50 out of 50 no one ever gets reported? Then this is the very cynical part of me. Guess what's going to keep fucking happening if you don't report it? You know what I mean?
Well,
you're encouraged. If at that point you're just that rampant about not causing a scene, then you have no one to blame for yourself for the way society is, because it's going to make it worse.
Yeah, there's a meme the other day that said, should women have to face time in prison for falsely accusing somebody of rape?
Fuck yes.
And that's what that, because if there was a legal punishment for somebody who claimed rape, but obviously didn't have it happen, then that would stop altogether.
Of course.
Especially with the famous people and shit like that.
Well, and here's the thing, like,
because that's what it's about. It's just about being recognized and stuff. Do I think Bill Cosby raped 50 fucking women? No.
Somebody did a bit. I can't remember who did it.
Do you see the one that was like the most recent one to sue him?
She's like too young.
No.
Oh, she I just,
ugh.
Yeah.
It's like a horrible thing. Like if a feminist is listening
Brums
to
is
this,
like,
I'm
yeah,
fucked.
She's just like, yeah, I don't care. First of all, feminists don't listen to this. If they do, they're just waiting to find something to be mad at.
That's the one clip they're going to.
They're going to isolate. When you get a TV deal, they're going to be like, Ryan Brums said.
Remember that time you said, ugh.
About a woman? Dude, I'll tell you this right now. Like, I just told you earlier, I can't get a boner if I have to take a shit. I can't get a boner if I'm laughing. Mm. I can't get a boner if I, like, you think I could fight my way through screaming and kicking?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, like, some people are turned on.
But
by
it's,
that.
Yeah, I know. I get that. Like, I live with one. But I mean, my point is, it's not for everybody. And so it's a shitty situation to be like, I started talking about Erica earlier and we got sidetracked on how great she is. But one of the things that she was like, she goes, no, you're not that way at all. And I go, it's funny because you have peers in this business that would tell you I'm exactly the opposite just based on jokes I've made on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never met me and they just think I'm one of these bro.0 rapist scumbags.
Right.
Because I think funny shit like that. Like, and it does anger me to think that women can just go on a blog and say, Brad Pitt raped me in a fucking bathroom stall, and people are going to crucify the shit out of Brad Pitt,
mm-hmm.
even if there's no truth to it. And in some of these situations, people are like, well, I know so-and-so, and they would never do that, or I know the situation, and I know it really did happen. It's like, I'm not saying it fucking didn't, and I'm not apologizing for these dudes. I'm just saying I don't like that we live in a world where you can essentially inception a crime that never happened. and just say, you know, I could, if I were a hot chick in the comedy community, we were doing this podcast, I could, and it's like, they don't even have to say a specific thing. They could just go, Ryan Broomes is just creepy and makes me very uncomfortable. And then two other girls go, yeah, he did a creepy thing to me one time. And by the time, it's like, fuck, remember that game Telephone you played in like third grade? Yeah. By the time the 33rd person gets around, it's like, Ryan Broomes gang raped all the women in comedy at the store one night at a roast battle. It's just like, what? A one man gang rape, first of all.
Yeah.
Give me this. Show me the science.
Right? That's the first thing I'm doing is like, man, logistically, this guy's God.
A God, yeah. So that, that's by incredible.
The end, by the time it gets to the 33rd person, I'm looking up.
You can't just have one dick for that, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, the first thing I'd walk away with is that guy has at least two dicks.
Yeah. Or like a lot of fucking limbs.
Or yeah, or one that's, or he's, or he can teleport that's himself. So he's a, that guy's not a criminal. That guy's a fucking X-Man. Like, are you just gonna ignore the laws of time and space that would even make that possible and crucify this person? It truly then becomes like a witch hunt.
Yeah, it's exactly what it, because that's the thing, is like, they're all like, oh, you shouldn't slut shame people.
I absolutely disagree.
You shouldn't slut shame people because you're a fuckboy. And I was like, ah, that's a male slut. So what you just did is slut shame somebody in the same sentence as you saying you shouldn't slut shame people.
Right.
It's like Amber Rose. She shouldn't be famous.
No.
That's ridiculous. I watched her get turned away from a sushi. She didn't get turned away. She just didn't want to wait at a sushi joint. And this is the best moment of my life.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that great about it. She's somebody that legit just fucked a few famous dudes. And now...
is celebrity.
She has author listed on her Twitter thing. You are not an author.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
That disgusts me. Yeah. But it's bullshit. And that's the world we live in, where she's fucking held up high as in some kind of like God and stuff, you know?
Because she's taking dicks.
Yeah. Continuously. And yeah. All famous dicks, too. That's another thing, too. If she was a true slut, she'd fuck everybody.
Yeah.
Not just the famous people.
Yeah.
You know?
That does make you a money-grubbing, soulless
whore. She's never put her finger in my butt.
Yeah.
You know, that's like... That's
well, when your things. Ship comes in, she'll be the first in line.
Right, exactly. She'll I can't like, wait. That's yeah. what I'm going to sign the deal and be like, listen, Tommy, that's going to be my agent's name. I'm going to be like, call up Amber, let her know. Tell her I'm white, see if she's okay with it. Also send her a picture of my hair and see if it negates that.
Update, she ain't. she ain't okay with it. I can't believe nobody's called this out. Do you know how much of a traditional homophobic black person you need to be to just be like, that motherfucker likes shit in his ass, for that to be an insult?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you do realize how bad that looks like.
Oh, yeah, I said it immediately.
I was just like, you think that's got him, motherfucker likes shit in his ass.
Yeah.
Okay, a lot of dudes like shit in their ass. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Homosexuals like shit in their ass. You think there's something wrong with that? Do you make fun of them?
I'm sure she's had somebody's entire arm in their ass.
Yeah, yeah. Her arm's probably been way up in asses.
Yeah.
Like all the stuff we talked about earlier about shits capsizing and leaving. She's dealt with all that, I bet.
Hmm.
It's a fucking Monday for her.
Speaking of all this, do you want me to tell the fuck story?
I do want to know how you turned delivering food over the app into fucking someone.
First and foremost, amazing. I showed you the picture of her.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, she's great.
And so this isn't some swamp trash.
The best thing ever, too, is that she sent me that picture the next day as like an apology. She's like, I just want you to know how pretty I can look.
Oh, so you caught her when she was like Netflix and home and I'm not going anywhere on a Friday night.
Here's what I caught her on like a Wednesday. Very random day.
Hump day.
Best day ever.
Hump day.
It was like I had like 2 hours left in my shift. I got a call to deliver somebody pick up sticks Chinese food. She lives on Riverside Drive. I'm not going to give exact address because that'd be whatever of me.
Unprofesh.
So I bring the Chinese food. I get to the door. I knock. I see somebody inside. I think it may be like a child because the glass is that kind of glass where it's a little like wavy.
Yeah.
And they're not moving. I'm like, all right, maybe it's a kid and they're scared or whatever. So I knock again. Then I see it move a little more. Come to the door, and it's her. She opens up, and she's like, hello? And I was like, oh, hey, I have a delivery. And she's like, I didn't order that. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Is there another Elizabeth, like, in this? Because it was like a house with an apartment attached to it. Is there another Elizabeth? She's like, I'm Elizabeth. I was like, oh, well, then this is your food. And she's just started crying. She's like, I have a problem with ordering delivery. I've spent $200 on delivery in the last 3 days. It's really, really bad. And I was like, oh, it's okay. I used to binge eat too. It's fine. And then she had one of the bags.
Oh, you fucked an addict.
There's two bags of Chinese food. She's got one in her hand. I have the other in my hand. I'm waiting for her to take it. But in my mind, I'm like, this could be it. Like, this could happen. Because that's, like, immediately, I was like, dude, she might, like, because she was clearly drunk.
Oh, yeah.
But she was, like, drunk to the point where she was looking at me and not seeing this. You know, like, whatever she saw was way better.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, game time. And then she was just like, oh, you can come in. And I was like, all right, so it's definitely happening. When I came in, I realized she was wearing, like, a long wife beater, but it was that blue color. And it was, she had nothing on underneath it. No bra, no panties, no nothing. So she had me sit on her couch and went to turn off the light. When she like bent over to turn off the light is when I saw everything, and I was like, oh, this is really happening. And
this is like an American Pie thing.
Dude, it's amazing. And it's like 100% true. I was texting people as it was happening because I needed them to know it was real.
If this girl pulls a 180 on me and scarlet letters me, I need an alibi where you're like, she invited me in.
Bro, I didn't leave that night because I was afraid of something like that happening. Yeah. I was like, now I have to sacrifice my comfort. But she had a really soft bed, so that's not true, actually. And I drank all of her Diet Dr. Pepper. She had so many. Like, the little cans, though, so, you know, I should have drank them all.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was comical to me, because I was thinking of, like, Forrest Gump every time I must have had
15 Dr. Peppers. Yeah.
Anyway, so we're...
I went to the White House.
We're on the couch. Again. She literally just jumps on top of me, rips everything out. I was like, you want to see my bedroom? And I was like, sure, of course I do. And then as soon as we get in there, she just goes to town. Now, this chick was insane. Like, absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, she has a problem with ordering food, and she fucks delivery guys.
Bro, like, the best ever, though. Like, there were things. I'm going to go, like, full-on, like, insane from top to bottom. Was just, like, so about it for about 3 hours. I needed to take a break to go get more Diet Dr. Pepper. And I walked out to the kitchen. And when we walked out, she sees the food, the Chinese food, on the table and goes, oh, did I order delivery again? Oh, I'm so stupid. Did I do that while you were here? And I looked at her and I was like, I brought it. And she looked at me and said, you're the delivery guy.
Did she start crying?
Yeah.
She start crying? Oh, that's amazing. So she's realizing what she had done. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then she took two shots and was right back to it. It was the freaking best thing in the world.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
We went, but then she got like, real, like, crazy. Like, with the whole fingers in the butt thing, she did that to me.
Yeah.
Without asking. She just did it. And it hurt me. I actually had to get on. For the first time ever as a man, I used the excuse, oh, I can't, I'm bleeding. It was fucking a real intense situation. And then I stayed there overnight, and in the morning we had sex again, but she had sobered up, and like...
Was it the obligatory, I don't want to feel like a whore, so let's fuck sober sex?
Weird, because like, I immediately just went in for the kill, you know, it's morning time, that's what we do, and that's what I do, and then she was like, you know, pretty dry, because now she's sober, she knows who I'm, like, you know, she sees it, she's like, eh. And...
I just want to isolate the clip of you going, she sees it. She's like, huh.
Yeah. she goes, she's like, let me grab lube. And like, because I had asked her if she had that the earlier, like the night prior, because we were like. Because
you knew there was going to be a morning where saw you.
I asked her because I was.
Oh, your asshole.
Yeah. And I was like, great. Like, let's. And so she said no the night before. And then she ended up having it. So she grabbed it. We did that. And then I fell back asleep till like noon. Yeah, I'm a lazy guy. It's going to happen. I'm not somebody that leaves your house at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
She like wakes up and she starts talking to me and she's just like, yeah, you know, what did we do last night? She's like, I remember giving you a blowjob. And I was like, it's fine. Like, don't worry. Don't worry about it. Like, it was good. You were great. Like, and she apologized to me for everything. But like, then we hung out after that and like kept going about it for a while. It was great. The funniest thing to me was that when we were in our break section in the middle, when she realized I was the delivery guy, I was sitting there, I looked at her and I was like, I gotta be honest with you. It's been running through my mind all night. Are you gonna tip me?
Did you really say that? What did she say?
She said, I sucked your dick. And I was like, that was for you more than it was for me, because she, She's the one that wanted all this. Yeah. I was trying to make money. I was just out being a good employee.
That was more for you than it was for me.
It was true. It really was. And she didn't tip me, but she did give me 5 stars. So I was like, all right, we're good. I felt good about it. It was a really fucking intense.
Are you going to tip me?
Yeah. It's so funny. I have a video clip of it on my on here somewhere. Just for further more proof, you can't really see her or anything like that, but like, I think you can hear her say, "Are you ready?" Cause it's like, I was walking into a room and I was like, I need proof for this, for the dude. Like I need somebody to know that this isn't made up.
Yeah.
And, let me see if I can find it here. Do videos.
Amazing story.
Oh yeah. 6 second clip. All right. She didn't say you're ready. She just laughed.
She looks ready.
Yeah.
She also didn't look afraid or threatened in any way.
Yeah, whatsoever.
She looked like a sexual predator on her own.
Yeah,
like,
I was.
She looked like she was about to praying mantis you. Yeah.
She told me so much crazy shit that night, like she'd killed people and stuff. And in my mind,
you believed all of it.
Well, I didn't care. I was like, if it's
that's
true,
how dicks work.
And I am gonna die. It might as well be in your mouth.
Yeah. It's a pretty good way to go, gotta say. Ryan Brohms.
That'd be a good music, good song.
I might as well die in your mouth.
I just died in your mouth tonight.
Is that not the song? I thought that was the song. Ryan Brohms, thanks for doing the show, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
We gotta roll. I gotta go get to doing this work thing, and I got an appointment in 30 minutes. So.
I think I'm gonna not work at all anymore tonight, and I'm gonna go get high.
Well, that sounds like a fun little Friday.
Yeah, it's good. I do need to nail out some packets, but I'll probably just get high.
Well, we'll do that. But thanks for coming on short notice today sharing all your great stories. This is probably, I don't know if this is the grossest, definitely one of the funniest episodes we've done in a while. And if you guys want to go find Ryan, you can find him. Are you at, what are you at, Ryan Brohms?
Yeah.
Brohms on Twitter and Instagram and everything else. You got
Instagram,
got your vanity
Vine,
URLs on everything?
Snapchat. All that shit. It's all under Ryan Brohms. Friend me on Facebook because I'm lonely.
Yeah. People are going to be, yeah. And by the way, if he ever shows up to your house with food, it's now customary for you to invite him in and suck his dick. Yeah,
exactly.
That's for you.
Just know the Chinese isn't the only thing I deliver.
That should, if you get to do a bio on Postmates, that better fucking be what you put. The Chinese ain't all I deliver. Oh man, that's great.
tried to say.